Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found in the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12, reading verses 1 through 8. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your appropriate worship. Also, do not continue to conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that you test and approve what is the will of God, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. So by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought, but think in a way that results in sound judgment, as God distributed a measure of faith to each of you. For we have many members in one body, and not all the members have the same function. In the same way, though we are many, we are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. We have different gifts according to the grace God has given us. If the gift is prophecy, do it in complete agreement with the faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then encourage. If it is contributing, be generous. If it is leadership, be diligent. If it is showing mercy, do it cheerfully. This is the word of God. Dear people of God, there are so many things in this text that we have talked about already this summer. It's amazing. It's like there's a plan in all of these readings that come together right now as the Apostle Paul describes our logical worship. But before we get to the word logic, we need to begin with the word mercy, because everything here is about God's mercy. Everything we're about to talk about begins with the mercies of God. And what is the mercy of God? Well, the mercy of God is that He saved us. God has saved us sinners. He has shown us not a little mercy, but He has poured His mercy and grace and love and forgiveness down upon us. For we did not just need a little boost to get over the doorstep into heaven, but our sins and our rebellion and our stubbornness have completely separated us from God. God's holiness can't stand to have our filth near it. And our rebellion cannot run away from God and His perfect expectations quickly enough. We are completely separate from God as sinners. It's a gap that cannot be bridged. It is impossible. But what is impossible with man is possible with God. For God has had mercy on us sinners. And He sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to shed His blood. Blood that covers us so that we are now acceptable to the holy God. In His mercy, God killed Jesus so that we can be called His holy children and be welcomed into His paradise. And Paul calls it here the mercies of God because these mercies are continual. They are many. We need God's mercy every day, every moment of every day. I spoke last week of how we remain beggars at the throne. We need to cry out over and over and over, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And He does. He has continual mercy upon us. We are saved only because of the mercies of God. Therefore, we owe God an appropriate response, an appropriate worship. And the word appropriate here is actually the Greek word logical. The Greeks loved logic. Socrates, Plato, Aristotle. And therefore, it makes all kinds of sense that the word logical is a Greek word. Our response to God's mercy is logical. God gave his son for us. Let us give our lives for him. Or, as the Apostle Paul says it, let us make our bodies living sacrifices. We are not to be bloody sacrifices or burnt offerings. We are not to commit suicide for the Lord. That's not what God asks of us. What is logical and God-pleasing is that we be living sacrifices. Use the new life, the joy of salvation that the Lord has won for us, and serve him in everything we do. Now, the first and most logical service to the Lord is the full-time ministry of the Word. It makes sense. God gave his life for me. I give my whole life to God. Lord, here am I. Send me wherever you want me to go in the world so that I may proclaim your saving name to whomever you want me to speak. But according to the words of the Apostle Paul, not everyone is qualified for that service. Not everyone has been given the God-given gifts to be a full-time minister of the word. And yet, no Christian is excluded or is excused from his appropriate, logical worship and service to the Lord. And therefore, the Lord has given us other things that you can do to worship him. Paul says that since God has had mercy on you and saved even you from your sins, do not continue to conform to the pattern of this world. We have been very good at blending in with this world, with the way they talk, with the way they dress, with what they watch. And worse is the Christian who strives to stand out in the world by out-wicketing the world and rebelling against their parents or the church. Where Paul says here, no, we're done with that now. The Lord has not treated you like the wicked world. Therefore, do not act like them. Rather, change to follow the will of God. Follow the word and the commandments, and you will find that the Lord's way is always much better than the world's way. Take the sixth commandment for an example. The Christian husband and wife who are striving to serve one another in the Lord, who are fighting the temptations of the world together, may live a boring life in the eyes of the world, but they have a quiet joy that the world cannot know about. A joy that only the two of them can experience as they love each other without guilt, as they love each other without disease, as they love each other without fear, and love each other with the Lord's blessing upon their marriage. The Lord's way is always better than the way of the world. That's how you give yourself to the Lord. Follow his will. Paul again describes our appropriate worship when he says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Nothing ruins the unity of a church than someone who thinks that he knows better than everyone else what ought to be done. Ordering people around is not appropriate worship. Paul says that we are to serve one another and to serve the church with humble service. Each one of us is here to do whatever we can for the group, to serve the body of believers. By faith, we have been brought into that body. And with our acts of service, we serve that body and its head, who is Christ our Savior himself. So therefore, we have now come to the seven gifts that the Lord gives to us that we might serve the body, that we might serve the church, that we might serve each other. And it's funny, whenever we come to these gifts of the Spirit, these lists of gifts are always different, but the list is always seven. There are, of course, thousands of gifts that the Lord has given to us in His church that we can use to serve one another. The Lord has not been shorthanded with us in how He gives us our gifts. And yet, whenever the Bible writers make a list, they always use seven because of our study of Revelation, where we found out that seven is the number of God dealing with men, 3 plus 4. And so, of course, the list is always seven. And of course, the list is always different. For there are so many ways to serve each other. And yet, the Bible writers use this number seven to keep with the biblical picture. Not to confuse you, but to be consistent. So, the gifts listed here in Paul's Roman list begin with prophecy. Prophecy is the full-time ministry of the word that I mentioned earlier. Now, Paul adds to it here that it is to be done in complete agreement with the faith. Ministers will be judged more harshly than everyone else in how, in line with Scripture, they conducted their ministry. Someone, please have mercy upon the minister who changes the word of God when he has to stand in front of the Lord on the last day, because the Lord will not have mercy on him. The next gift in Paul's list that the Lord has given to us to serve each other is serving. Do you see how logical this list is? These opportunities that the Lord has given us to serve one another? Of these gifts, who doesn't have one or many? Who can't serve? Who among you can't clean the church or bake a cake for a funeral or bus a table or pull up carpet or dust? Let no one say that there is nothing I can do to serve the Lord and His church. Next on the list is teaching. And this certainly includes our public ministers of the word, but it does not exclude you mothers and fathers and grandparents. Having children around is always an opportunity to teach. Whether it be something good if you have a Bible passage in mind, or teach something bad by your example. The children are watching. What are you teaching them? We also worship the Lord by encouraging one another. Can you come up with a word or two that can encourage the person next to you? Even the world knows this, that an uplifting word during the day is very important. The Facebook is full of it. But Paul says to you who know better, to use the tool that the Lord has given to encourage. Use Holy Scripture. Use one of the many passages to build each other up. Greet each other in the name of the Lord, and use His word to build each other up. Contributing. We talked about contributing a few weeks ago. It's also here on Paul's list of things that God has given to us to serve each other. If you give an offering to the Lord, it shows that the Lord is in you. He has given you that gift and desire. It doesn't come from you. It's not natural. The world laughs at us foolish Christians for giving our hard-earned money to something as shady as the church. If you really have a desire to give to the Lord and to give to serve His people, the Lord has produced a great miracle inside of you by His Holy Spirit. And Paul says, stick it to the world. Drive them really nuts by giving generously. Leadership, this is a gift that not everybody has. Not everyone can speak at a meeting. Not everyone can stand in front of the group. But if you can, use that gift and join one of our boards. It's election time here in the church too. If the Lord has given you this gift of leadership, offer yourself as a candidate as part of your appropriate, logical worship. And finally, at the end of Paul's list is showing mercy. Again, something even the most humble and shy Christian can do to worship the Lord. Showing mercy is the thing that the Lord values greatest among those who worship Him. The Lord Jesus said in Mark chapter 9, "Whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, will certainly not lose his reward." Appropriate, logical worship. God has had mercy on you when he didn't need to. He saved you who sinned against him. So show your love and faith and appreciation to Christ your Savior by how you treat other people and by your choices in life. Serve the Lord by serving his people. That's logical. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.